So we're back. Last time we sort of had the introduction. That was the introduction to fundraising from a biblical perspective. And today we're going to go deeper into that subject because this is ministry. And ministry is about service. It's about we are serving those who are called to participate. Again, the providence of it all. Acts 16, verse 6, Paul and his companions arrived throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. I've come to believe that, you know, I just recently a large foundation let me know that they're going to be giving in different priorities to a Christian school this year, a large amount, and not supporting this ministry. And when I first heard it, I felt sort of like, oh, well, the providence of it all. That gift prompted me to say, you know something? We need to include our students in raising more mission support that we can keep it free. We are not going to charge tuition. We're not going to use our accreditation thing to get connected to the U.S. Department of Education's student loan program where education puts people in debt $50,000. No. What's going to happen? Well, this foundation prompted me to say, you know something? We have to keep getting busy to include more people in the mission to raise the funds, and don't contend against what God has, because we in fact live out the narratives that come to us. The Apostle Paul of Philemon 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who had become my son while I was in chains. You know, this whole relationship with Philemon was connected to a relationship with a donor named Paul in Philemon, and Onesimus was a runaway slave, and there's that whole narrative of how this runaway slave gets into Paul's care. Paul then realizes that he was basically an enslaved person that was owned by Philemon. Now, today, Christians don't own slaves, but back then, you know, that was the whole transition from, you know, a Roman culture to a Christian culture. In the Christianity was not about a social gospel. The first thing Paul said to him was not get rid of all your slaves. No, he worked within the system, and that's how we work today in the narrative of our lives. And yet through that, in the providence of it all, God opens many doors. You know, I tell you, today in our Bible study, it was really interesting. So I'm with these men who are very wealthy, most of them, and we're talking about, and they were reflecting upon money and the challenges of money. And there is a challenge of money that we see in the book of Acts with Ananias and Sapphira. Acts 5 verse 2, we read, with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, okay, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, this is a kind of an interesting Bible passage because here we have the early church, ministry training is spreading everywhere, the movement of Christ, Barnabas has a field, sells it, gives it to the apostles, and then Ananias and Sapphira, they're believers, and they lie to the apostles about the gift given, and in the end, both of them lose their life over it. It's kind of a sad story. But what does it mean? What it means is that somehow money is all part of the narrative in a person's giving life. And we understand that. And God uses money, and there's something sacred about it. From your perspective, it's to be very honest with the money and very non-manipulative as you serve people. But the donors themselves, they have their own struggles. Now, today, in the grace of God, I know a lot of people struggle, and there's a whole discipleship thing going on. So that beginning of the early church time, I don't believe that's here. At least I'm not aware of it like this, where someone suddenly is life is taken. But the principle is there. Like, you know, money is a serious thing. And in our discipleship, we want to be honest. We don't want to be manipulative. And understand that the donors themselves, in this Bible study today, person by person, man by man, was talking about how Satan gets in there and tries to, you know, thwart their mind and get them to, you know, have thinking that does not honor God with money. And in Jesus Christ, things turn around and they realize that everything they have, God owns. But again, it's a process. If you're a mission multiplier and you have a relationship, you're in that discipleship journey with them. Do not cheapen your calling. Stay away from any gimmicks. In order to get someone to give, don't try to get someone to give. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 5, you know we never use flattery, nor do we put a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. You know, be a person of honor, and when you talk about things, talk about them in a transparent way. We don't need to extra sell anything to get anything. I know when I was young in ministry, I sometimes felt like I had to really make sure everybody knew. But God does move hearts. Understand that your hard work and the hard work of the donors that you're talking to will be rewarded. Matthew 25, verse 21, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." So all of these things are very much in narratives that are in people's lives. It's not, here's five check blanks, and then that relates to how the theology of giving is all about. No, it's all about, we are here on this earth. We are stewards of the gifts that God has created. From your perspective, know your cause and believe in it. Do you really believe in local ministry training? Why? Do you understand it enough to articulate exactly why? Romans 15, verse 20, "It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so I would not be building on someone else's foundation." The Apostle Paul knew exactly why he did what he did. When I talk to donors, vision partners, about Christian leaders, I know exactly that it is needed so that everybody has the opportunity to study the Word of God, to fan their calling into flame, that they will become ministers. Motivate by opportunities and vision. The need is obvious. Romans 15, verse 17 and 19. "I therefore glory in Christ Jesus, my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ." You know, if people see in your eye that you are a Jesus person, you are someone who knows who they are and knows why they believe what they believe, that is powerful. Here's something I've learned. Don't show favoritism. If you do, even the rich will not trust you. James 2, verse 1, "My brothers, as believers in our Lord, glorious Lord Jesus, don't show favoritism." You know, being around people with wealth, you can easily get lost. And I'll tell you, if you do, eventually they themselves will disrespect you. You know, as a minister over the years, I have been around very many very wealthy people. And one thing I've saw with all my heart is I will not say something just for them to want to hear it. I will say something convicted by the Lord on what is truthful and appropriate. Now, I am not going to go out of my way to drop my people's smart skills. I wouldn't do that with anyone. But I'm very careful to not show favoritism. And finally, when it comes to raising money, enjoy it. Have joy in the effort. Be seated as one filled with joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. There is nothing scary about raising money for the kingdom. It's fun. What a great opportunity. In this whole world where it seems like almost so much resources is spent on everything about the human kingdom, to raise things for the kingdom of God, how fun is that? So if you're getting excited, as I am excited about being a vision partner, about being a mission multiplier, it's the right thing to be because it is fun. It is fun to see people give toward the multiplication of more ministers, of more difference makers, that God is glorified and revival is planted everywhere.